Last November, even The Guardian reported on Slovenia, but not about how a good tourist destination it is, but with the headline, "Slovenia adds water to constitution as a fundamental right for all." And this is why I was invited to this panel to talk about how we managed to achieve this, this amendment. As in many countries in the EU, also Slovenia reacted strongly on the announced directive proposal by the European Parliament and the Council about the concession contracts, on how they could be, how they could allow for giving concessions for water supply. And then a civil initiative arose, like in many other European countries, which was, of course, strongly against this directive proposal, and which demanded one very simple thing, that water should and must become basically a human right. So in the following years, in 2014, this civil initiative managed to persuade some political groups in the parliament, and a motion was brought into the National Assembly of Slovenia, but didn't come to a conclusion because of the early end of the government. But it was revived in 2015, last year, and was pushed forward by the former Prime Minister Alenka Bratušek and co-signed by my political group, the United Left, and also two coalition ruling parties, the Social Democrats and the Democratic Pensioners Party, leaving out the ruling, the biggest, biggest coalition party, the party of the modern center, because they had to think about the constitutional views of such a move. But why did we decide to put forward this motion and to try to amend our constitution? So the utmost, the top document, the top act in the country. I should say that the legislature in Slovenia was already fair enough about this matter. But the fact remains that laws can be simply changed by a simple majority in the parliament. So there is no guarantee that one day one government would come and say, okay, let's privatize everything, let's give concessions, and let's change the laws. And the only reasonable solution at that moment was to find a way to make water a constitutional matter. And this is what we try to do. And I would like to stress out the whys. Why is this so important, and why I think this step, the making water a constitutional matter, is probably one of the best ways to secure the right of citizens to water. First, I wanted to point out on some cases which clearly show what it means to privatize water or give water concessions for water supply in other European countries. We've heard before some of them. The first and most prominent probably it was in Italy, when in the beginning of the 90s there was a rearrangement of water supply companies into joint stock companies, which were then privatized. And the outcome was, I have a statistic here, between 1997 and 2006, the increase of water price was of 60%. And on the other side, as it's usual with privatization, investments into the infrastructure decreased by 70%. It's, of course, following the basic logic to minimize, minimize costs and increase profit. Next was, of course, Greece, with Thessaloniki and Athens, where also Suez played an important part. And again, 300% increase in prices for water, and also water quality dropped to an almost health risk level, as I was informed or almost. and well, the quality of water was reduced, and this was in Thessaloniki. Thank you. So this is also one of the effects of water privatization. We are facing the very almost sure probability that water quality will fall. And the same story went on in Paris, where also Suez and Veolia had an important part, where, again, the increase of water prices was 200% and so on. But in, at least in Italy and, it, and in Paris, also governments and municipalities saw what, they, what they've done. Italy overcame this, this problem with a referendum, which basically said that water was a constitutional matter. And the Paris, Paris municipality decided to bring back in its own hands water supply because of they saw what they've done. And again, we have a lot of other examples like Portugal and in Barcelona, but also in Bulgaria or in Bolivia and so on. These are all stories which talk about or speak about what privatization of water supply means. So it's a story of destruction, and this is why we came to the point that we should also look what this means for our country, so in Slovenia. We didn't have so bad a situation. As I mentioned before, there was some privatization, but mainly for the drinking industry, which has been given a lot of concessions. But there are three main things I wish to point out in view of our country or our country's problem. The first was the incoming new generation of free trade agreements. All of these new free trade agreements announced and threatened to endanger our water supplies. Almost in every one of them, starting from CETA, wants to allow the multinational corporations to have access to not just water supply as such, but of water resources, which is a basic natural good. The second thing was that we already started to see some problems of the private supply of water. We did not privatize water supply, but we gave concessions to some private companies, and we have seen basically the same figures as in the countries I mentioned before. In Kamnik, for example, there was a 200% increase of water prices, in Krško of 130%, in Ormož of 190%, and so on. And on the other side, all of these companies who were handling this water supply, of course, were paying out dividends with big sums, and also their CEOs or their managers were fairly had fairly good wages. For example, in Kamnik, the manager had a monthly salary which was a third bigger than the president of the republic. In Krško, it was two times bigger than the president of the republic, and so on. So these are three examples of what means the privatization of water supply. It's very simple. Every capitalist logic brings to one conclusion: the minimalization of costs, so investments in infrastructure and so on, and the maximization of profit. And this is the basic formula, and it applies to everything, even to water supply. The third thing, which I already mentioned, was the concessions for the drinking industry. In Slovenia, they were mainly given in 2005. It was the time of a right-wing government for a period of 30 years. Also, in the last years, we privatized most of our drinking industry, the biggest companies who had these concessions. So now private foreign companies have these concessions for at least 30 years or for the next 20 years now. And this brings up to about 60% of all Slovenian water, which is used for the drinking industry. And when I think about this, I always think about how in the summers, mostly also in my region where I come from, we sometimes, if it's really hot and there is a water shortage, we always get instructed how to rationalize the consumption of water, but I never heard such a warning for the drinking industry. Nobody says, okay, stop doing your drinks because you are endangering our water supplies. And this is also one of the points which leads to a very practical conclusion, and this is that water should have a special place in our society and a special meaning. And this meaning is what I said before, that water is a human right. To finish, I wanted just to tell you what we did, what we inscribed into our constitution. The first, which is, I call it the postulate of this mission, was that everyone has the right to potable water. With this simple and short statement, we said, okay, this is what the human right is. Everyone should be able to come to water which is drinkable, which you can drink and use freely. But this, of course, is not enough. We had to strongly convince our biggest party, the ruling party, that we should incorporate into our constitution also some other means to ensure that water will be a human right. And the first was that, of course, water must be available universally. So the state now that we have inscribed this into our constitution will have to provide by such means or others water supply to everyone. If we talk about human rights, I think this is the main task any government or any state should do for its citizens and for its residents. And the second thing was that we should think about how to exclude any threat of privatization or giving concessions. So we had to continue this definition, this constitutional definition, and we ended up with two statements which are also very simple, but I think that come to the conclusion that is important. And this is that water resources represent a public good that is managed by the state. So no one then the state can use or manage the water resources. This is important. This is what, this is the clause that excludes any giving of concessions. And then on, water resources are primary and durably used to supply citizens with potable water and households with water, and in this sense are not a market commodity. Thus giving priority to the people, not to the drinking industry. If there will not be enough water, the drinking industry will stop. Water is primarily used for drinking and the use in household. And saying that it's not a market commodity, I think it's a fairly strong message. Of course, there were some concerns on how this impacts on free market, how the outside will look at us, how maybe someone should try to sue our country for not letting the principle of the free market and so on, but I think it's a risk worth taking. It's a risk that is, I will call it minor. The outcome was that the amendment passed with of course, constitutional majority of 64 MPs out of 90. Only the right-wing parties did not vote because they said we already have water. We have already the right to water in the constitution through other articles. But I think this is a strong message. We managed to bring together our group, which is socialist and left, to the social democrats and also the liberals, and we can almost say center-right ruling party, to come together to this conclusion that, okay, we in Slovenia have a lot of water, but it's not forever, it's not inextinguishable. So we should try to do something with it. And we came up with this solution. So put it in the constitution and make it secured this way. Of course, this is just the first step. It's the founding stone of this solution, because now, of course, we have to adapt all the legislature and all the laws to this, to the constitution, and of course try to implement all that is being granted by this amendment. And of course the concessions which have been provided for now, they have to end, but we should try to find a good solution in our laws on how to at least try to calm them down, to restrain them, and to find a way to rescue these water resources. Of course, the main part of the job is in front of us. It's what we have still to do, but I think this was an important step, and maybe an example of a good practice which could be followed also through the initiative in other countries. Thank you.